The following program is brought to you by the 511 Media Group. This program is available on iTunes, Spotify, the 511 Media Group YouTube channel, and 511mediagroup.com.
Welcome back to Play It Loud. I'm Rich.
And I'm Richie's.
So today we are doing a review of a concert that we went to a few days ago. And it is, for us, I think it was, holds a special place, I know, for you, for one of the bands. Actually, two of the bands, I would say. Second time we saw both
yes.
bands that we wanted to see. And then the middle two bands, we'll talk about those later. But we went and saw at the Riviera Theater in Chicago. We saw Beartooth. We saw The Plot in You. Mm-hmm. We saw Invent Animate. Mm-hmm. Do I have that right?
Yes, it's okay. Not. You said anime the first time.
I did. not on here, but no. When I was talking to you. And then we saw Sleep Theory, which, so going back to last year, you actually developed a relationship with Cullen from Sleep Theory at the Sylvie in Madison when we saw them last year with Shinedown. And ever since then, we've done an interview with him. We're hoping to do another interview with them. That one was, if you go back and listen to the interview, he was having some issues with his mobile device that we were trying to get him on. So we're going to try to do a follow-up with him. But you've kept in contact with him since then and built a relationship with him. So saw him on Wednesday. Friday. Today's Sunday. So a Friday night in Chicago, a rainy Friday night in Chicago.
And very cold.
And very cold for March. And then we saw Beartooth at Hogfest last year, mm-hmm. and we saw them again on Friday. So as if you're a brand new member to or a brand new listener to Play It Loud, what we do is we kind of give you our entire experience from start to finish through the whole evening so that you can kind of be there with us and experience it. Even though you didn't have to experience the cold and the rain, we will bring you through it. So for this particular event last October, I think we were actually sitting in the studio here, possibly.
That wasn't me. That was Ryan. I came in for something.
So
I don't remember why
we started talking about this particular concert, and there was meet and greets available. And you wanted to see Beartooth as part of the experience. And so we got connected with the meet and greet tickets. And so we had to go early. Mm-hmm. It was a, hey, be here at 3:00 on a Friday afternoon in Chicago. And we kept watching the weather all week, and it looked like it was going to be, at first it looked like it was maybe going to rain, and then
it definitely decided to rain.
Later in the week.
It went to like 85%.
Yeah. Like so it was like before. 20 to 30% at the beginning of the week. And then by the time we actually left on Friday, it was like,
it was already raining. I think
it was raining, but then by the time we got there, they were like, it's going to be like 95% rain, possibly showers, which if you've ever been to the Riviera Theater in Chicago, there's not a lot of cover. It's
the buildings are straight up
basically right on a corner. And so if you're standing on one side of the theater, so if you're looking at the theater head on, if you go to the left, it's kind of like a neighborhood. If you go to the right, it's also a neighborhood, but it's a big interchange. There's like a five-way stop there, and it's very, very, very windy. And so if you have to stand on that side and wait to get in the theater, you are bitterly cold if it is not a nice day.
I think the last time we went to the Riv, it was also very cold because we were
so we
walking
went there
in the
for
wind.
Alter Bridge, I believe.
Yeah, and it was cold that day.
We had to park quarter mile, half a mile away, something like that.
A lot farther than this time.
This time we actually got really good parking. We parked like a block and a half away. We got there nice and early. They said be here by 3:00. The event's going to start at 3:30 for the meet and greet.
There was already a long line when we got there.
There was a fairly good sized line. We got there 5 to 3 maybe, 10 to 3.
We walked up around probably around 3:00.
And there might have been 30 people in front of us. Maybe.
Give or take.
And then on the other side of the entrance, there was a good line.
I think it was starting
forming.
To wrap around the other side of the roof.
But by this time, it was just kind of piss and rain, like just a little misty rain. It wasn't anything, not a big deal. And I was looking at my notes from where they send you the email and they say, No, this is all from the band. This is not from the venue. I have to make this clear from the beginning because there's going to be two parts to this. There's going to be what we got from the band, and then there's going to be our experience with the actual venue, which is completely and utterly different.
I think you should preface this, too, by saying that the Riv isn't one of our favorite venues just due to history. I don't think they run the establishment very well, period. I think they always oversell their concerts. The staff isn't very friendly. Like, the bartenders are great because they're bartenders, and, you know, the merch people are great, but
so your experience from door to door, meaning when you go into the venue and you come out of the venue, if a venue is doing their job, everyone is trying to make your experience in that particular venue as easy, as comfortable, as exciting as possible, because you're paying, typically nowadays, you're paying a lot of money to be, it, especially if you're going to be in a meet and greet, you're paying a lot of money. That one was particularly expensive. And we'll get into what we got for it and whether you thought it was worth it. And I think the venue actually ruined part of it, of the experience for the meet and greet. I don't necessarily
I think a lot of people
are
unhappy too, based on what I heard. So,
100%. And so, given that, given the fact that door to door, your experience should be the best it can be, and that venue wants to bring you back, I think this venue in particular, the Riviera Theater, every time that I've been there, and I've been there three times now, we've been there for Nothing More, we've been there for Alter Bridge and Beartooth. All three times that we've been there, I have considered it an absolute failure on the venue's part. They have not done a again, the bartenders, absolutely wonderful. They do have a stupid rule, and I get why they have the rule. They have a stupid rule about they have to take the bottle cap off your bottle. But if you have a full water bottle,
yeah,
and they're like, well, you could throw it. Well, how does the cap being on there have, I mean, yeah, maybe some water can come out, but that's
velocity.
Just utterly fucking ridiculous.
Well, no, because people were throwing their cups and shit when we were in there.
But they were empty.
So.
Yeah,
but
they
still.
Were empty. I'm just saying, it's kind
it's
of a dumb
garbage.
Rule, but whatever. Because you wanted a water and I got you one. It was just, it was like one more stupid thing with the
venue. Just sucks because I had to drink it all in one go or else.
Right, because you can't really put it down.
Yeah.
You have to hold it, whatever.
Because there'd be shit in it. And I don't,
you know. So anyways, we get there and we start in line, and not a big deal because they think, you know, they said the thing starts at 3:30. Okay, so fine. It starts at 3:30. I can wait a half an hour, but they're going to let you in. Typically, if you have a meet and greet that starts, like when we went to St. Ansonia.
They usually have you waiting.
Right, they have you waiting outside for a little bit, but then they bring you inside and they have you form a line inside so you're comfortable and you can kind of see the venue and the surroundings and that sort of thing. You can kind of check out the merch table. You can't buy anything yet, but you can kind of check it out and all of that.
It's usually just so that they can ensure that everything starts on time instead of hoping
right.
that everyone's kind of herded in at that time and everything goes according to plan. It's just to get everything on schedule.
And you would think in Chicago, if it's raining and there's no cover for the people that are standing outside paying all of this money for the meet and greet, you'd want to make them as comfortable as possible. Not that you wouldn't want to make the other people that are coming to your venue as comfortable as possible, but especially the people that are paying extra money.
I think there was a lot of miscommunication between the venue and the band, at least the tour manager. Like, I don't think they were communicated what the expectations were, what times everything was starting.
Where it was going to be. Was it going to be in the venue itself? Was it going to be upstairs in a specific room, in a hallway? Where was it going to be? They probably were trying to figure all that out. Because when we got into the venue, a lot of times they're still setting up when we get in from a meet and greet. They were not doing that. They were 100% set up. So it was not the fault of the bands or the crew or the staff members that were setting up for the bands.
But that doesn't even matter because we weren't in there.
Right.
So it doesn't
I don't
matter.
Know that for 100%, but I'm just deducing it from the fact that we got in there when we got in there and 100% of it was set up and they were still setting up merch and they were still trying to figure out security and they were still trying to set up the damn machines that you walk through, the security machines that you walk through, the metal detectors. They kept moving those back and forth and back and forth. And so to me, it was the support staff of the venue and the security people that just did not have their shit together. Just let's just say that point blank, they didn't have their shit together. And they blamed it on the band, which pissed me off to begin with. So we get there and you think, okay, we're going to be inside. We're going to be out of this rain in about 15 minutes or so because they got to get everybody in line and they got to check everybody in. And they have, usually they have a clipboard or they have something or a tablet or something. They're checking you all in. We're still standing there. It's 3:30. We're still standing there. Like, what the fuck's going on?
I think
on?
The tour manager came out at 3:30-ish.
I think it was more like
We got in there probably around 3:45.
Okay, so he comes out. He looks like he's a Gorton's fisherman because he's got this big raincoat on, and he's talking to one group of people, and then he's talking to another group of people. And if you had us all inside and you had us lined up, you could just do it in one shot.
He could have yelled from the top. Correct. Of the where he was.
You could have just stood on the stairs and told everybody who was standing in the foyer, which there was plenty of fucking room in there to stand in there. Hey, this is what's going to happen. This is what you're going to do. This is where you're going to go. You're going to get this picture. You're going to do this. But then they kind of oversold it in the beginning. Maybe this was the band's fault. Maybe this was not the band's fault. They said, hey, you can have, you know, an item signed. No one got to do that.
I think it's because everything got pushed back so late because
it was chaotic.
The venue again.
It was chaotic.
I don't think this is what it was supposed to be. And I think it's just how the cards played out for this specific show.
The other thing you have to mention is for the Riviera Theater, there's really nowhere for the bands to unload their shit. Like if you,
they
sometimes
have to go in a back alley and like,
well, not only a back alley, but a side street. So they have to unload all their shit and bring it in through a side door. And it's a really small entrance. There's not a lot of room there. And so that also has probably, they didn't figure that when they got there. Maybe the bands hadn't, I mean, Beartooth has been to Chicago many, many times, as Caleb said. But he's usually been to the House of Blues. And if you know the House of Blues, it's a private driveway that goes up there. You can unload all your shit. Nobody's going to be messing with you. I think there's an underground area that you can go to as well in the parking garage.
There's a lot of space around
but
it.
But not at this venue. This venue is in a residential area, residential/commercial area. It's on a really, really busy corner, and there's not a lot of room. And so they have to get these big semi-trucks and buses and everything in this little tight comparted area. And they probably didn't understand that or know it. And so that kind of backed everything up. Plus two bands hadn't arrived yet and they were just arriving. So their merch wasn't there yet. And part of the deal for us was once we got done and early entrance, we could go to the merch and we could have early access to that. But since the bands had showed up late and
I don't think it was Beartooth though. I know Sleep Theory showed up late because we saw Cullen's band.
Correct. And I believe the other one might have been Plot and You, but I don't know. I don't know that for a fact. Because when I went in there, they were still setting up Sleep Theory, and Plot and You was still setting up some of their merch. Invent Animate, all their stuff was up, and Beartooth, all their stuff was up. That was later on. So we finally get let in, and now we're pretty wet. I mean, it's... My sweatshirt was a lot wetter than I expected it to be. I thought it was not as wet as it was. You were soaking wet. So we get in there, and basically here was the meet and greet. You walk up the stairs, you shake their hands, you take a picture with their photographer, you walk down the stairs, they hand you a bag, which has, what had
vinyl
it?
And a signed
poster. So it was a small vinyl, right? Like a 45.
Oh, it's so cute. I don't know if you opened it up, but it's so pretty. It's a pale pastel pink, mm-hmm. and it's got like the snakes.
It's a big
on
color
there.
For them, right? Pink?
They go with themes based on like their, like they did Riptide with like the teal and mm-hmm. then they did
surface
yellow
was pink.
For Sunshine and mm-hmm. then now it's pink for the Surface. So they do like colors.
And he was wearing during the concert,
like
he was wearing
purple,
some pink.
They had purple, they had orange in the past, they've had green in the past. Like they just go with colors, I guess. Mm. It's like
and maybe that denotes specific tours so they know when they see videos or something that's the tour.
I think it's
that
album
on.
Based. Like,
So we get up there. Shake a hand. Now, everybody else was doing like the Knuckles thing. You went in Knuckles with the roll band. I just kind of walked by. I put my wet sweatshirt on the chair. And I said hi to the band. And because I wanted to kind of get through that as not as quickly as possible. But there was a lot of people that we had to get through there. And it was approaching.
There were a lot of people behind us. Too.
Right. And there was approaching that 4:30 time where the doors were going to open at 4:30. And so I was like, okay, well, let's just go. And,
it was
and
like
actually, Caleb
we got done.
Surprised me. He actually turned to me, he grabbed my hand, turned me around and said, hey, how you doing? I'm like, great. I said, we saw you last year. Same thing that you did. We saw you last year at Hogfest. Really appreciate you guys being here. Looking forward to the show. He's like, that's fantastic. And, you know, so we just had that little small interaction.
Yeah, I had a really good interaction with him,
too. And then turned around, took the picture, and I was on my way, got my bag. And then
Do you want me to talk about my experience or you want to talk about your anger first?
Wow. Go ahead.
So I went first. So I gave you my sweatshirt because I'm like, this is my moment.
Yeah, here's my wet sweatshirt. Could you hold this?
here's my husband's flannel. Hold this, please. While I go talk to my guys. I did Knuckles too, and I was wearing a ring that day. So I'm like, wow, really bad day to wear a ring on my right hand for once in my life. And I get up there and Caleb's like, hey, how you doing? And I'm like, oh, like I'm cold. Yeah. And he's like, and I'm like still shivering at this point. And he's like, you know, I hope that changes. I hope we can warm you up once we get things started. And I'm like, oh, I know we can. Like, I saw you at Hogfest. And he's like, no way. Like, thank you so much for coming back. And I was like,
right.
You're welcome.
Who, me?
No, he's just the sweetest guy. And it was really nice. Even for the short amount of time that I got to see him, like, there's not enough I could have said in right. the time that we, because like I said, they were short on time. So I think that it wasn't because
they were the herding band, you through kind of like cattle. I mean, let's,
it wasn't be the band's preference though.
No.
So it's
you
not,
you typically want to spend more them. Time with the people who have spent that kind of money.
And he, I think they all were kind of just doing what they were told. So, I mean, it was a good experience from like what I did have. It was very short lived. The tour manager was very nice too. Right. I got to talk to him while you were doing your thing. And he was talking about, and that's so nice that Caleb got your hand. But no, I was like, oh, they're like, you know, they're making us go out in the rain. And he's like, well, they're not supposed to be doing that. And I'm like, right. well, they are, like, that's what they're telling us. And he's like, just wait here by the stairs. And then people started copying. And right. I think everyone was kind of afraid to go back out in the cold. Cause everybody was like, oh my God, it's like,
well, you'd have semi-warm. To put all your wet stuff back on.
Yeah. So everyone was kind of like hurting by the stairs, and then the security guards were getting frustrated and they came upstairs and were like, the guy, like the tour manager told us, like, we can stay in here. Like, everything's almost set up. I don't understand. And they're like, well, we didn't scan your tickets yet. Well, that's not my fucking problem, sir.
Right.
Like,
and they're right. They had not scanned our tickets yet.
But like, don't you think?
But usually when you do a meet and greet, they do both.
Yes.
Right. So we've been to enough of them where they go, okay, you're on the list. Show me your email. Yep. You've got that confirmation. Show me your ticket. We'll scan it. Boom. You're in.
Right.
Right. Now, the only one that didn't do that was Sanasonia.
But that was
because they let us back out. Yeah. Right. And then we could come back in. But we had early entry, early access to merch, all of that. And they scanned us in. But we knew
that
was going in.
But that was a completely separate time.
Right. Like, but we knew that going in, right? Yeah. We knew that we were going to go back out. Yeah. We would have an hour because we had already planned on going to get something to eat. That was all laid out in the email. This was not. It made it seem like be there at 3:30. We're going to do this from 3:30 to 4:30. Doors are going to open, but between 3:30 and 4:30, you're going to do the meet and greet. You'll have access to early merch, and then you'll be able to get into the venue. There was no, hey, we're going to send you back outside. Now, I think that was a last minute decision by the venue. I don't think it was the band's decision.
I don't think so either.
At all.
Again, I think this was a lot of miscommunication between them, like them not communicating what the expectations were, and they were going based on what they thought they were told, or maybe what they were told, and then the security ran out a different plan. I don't know, but the security guards were not very nice.
So they walked upstairs and they talked to the tour manager, and then he came downstairs and he lies. And he says, the band says you have to go outside. No, sir, that is not true. The band said we could stay. You said we had, and it was the head security guy. This is where I kind of went into my asshole mode. And I was trying to be nice before that, but I was like, look, we paid for early entry. He says, we're going to let you in early. I said, yeah, but you're sending X amount of people out to the rain again.
He said there was like 100, yeah.
But you could easily fit 100 people in that foyer.
Okay? Or in the doors.
Easily. We
or
all
under
knew,
the awning outside.
Whatever, right. There's an awning. We could just stand there, right? And you could just say, look, all of you people stand here. We would get in a line. We would know who's first. We would figure it out. People are smart. They can figure that out, right? We would figure it out amongst ourselves. Fine. No problem.
They weren't even letting people go to the bathroom. I should also say that, too. People were like, can we go to the bathroom?
See, that was bullshit, too, because a woman walked in and she goes, hey, can I use that bathroom? He says, yes, go through the line first, and then you can go to the bathroom. She literally came back down. I watched her. She literally came back downstairs. She goes, I'm going to use the bathroom. He goes, no, you can't use the bathroom. The same fucking guy.
And another guy came down and he's like, can I use the bathroom first? And he's like, no, you can't use the bathroom. You have to go out. And he goes, I can't use the bathroom. And he's like, nope. And he's like, okay.
And it's literally, there was like a handicap bathroom or something, like a family
neutral,
bathroom.
Yeah.
Right. Right there. So just let people, they've been standing outside for an hour in the fucking rain. It's cold. People got to piss.
I had to pee, but I was like, I'm not going to fight this right now.
So like, they're like, hey, let's take this into the foyer. I go, we can take it this is exactly what I said to the security guard. I think you walked out at this point.
Oh, I was outside already. I didn't want to deal with it. I was already just not in the good mood.
I said, we can go out in the foyer, but it's not going to change my attitude, first of all. Second of all, it's not going to change what I have to say. Third, you guys are in the wrong. And then what he said to me next pissed me off. And it pissed me off twofold. He said, first of all, he says, look, he said, the two bands showed up late, and this is why we're doing what we're doing. And I said to him, that isn't my problem. You guys need to figure out a plan when this happens, not to have to send people back out into the rain. That's just dumb. These people have paid a lot of money to be here for this meet and greet. And I understand you're part of the venue and you're not part of the band, but you're hosting the band. You're getting paid. But
also, the main band is there. They're already set up. They're already doing
everything
they needed
to
do. There's no reason why you couldn't have people just wait in the hallway. If you didn't want the venue to be open, don't open the doors.
Right.
And tell people that they have to wait.
There's a little foyer between the glass doors, right? So there's doors, a foyer, then doors. Have us stand in there. We would have been fine with 100 people standing in that foyer.
I would have been fine even standing under the awning outside.
Whichever.
But
then
they told us
into
to
the
leave.
Main foyer between the two staircases, you could still have, and I told them, I said you could have three security guards stand there and not let people in. You could scan all of our tickets. You could do all of that stuff now. Because we've already gone through the security line. We've already gone through the metal detectors.
And I get that some people don't have the tickets, and that's fine. Get them back on their merry way. That's fine.
Then they can go outside.
Right. They can go and leave because that's where they're going anyway.
Right. But if you've got everything together, don't make us go back outside. And I know we're bitching and moaning about having to go back outside in the rain, but
when you're bone cold,
soaking wet.
It was 34 degrees outside, and it was windy.
And it was getting
dark.
And by the way, it was starting to rain harder.
And it was pouring.
Yeah.
There were certain parts where it was raining pretty hard. And Lexi said when we went in, it actually rained harder.
So,
and she had an umbrella, luckily.
So you brought up Lexi. So she rode down with us.
She did not have a meet and greet.
She did not have a meet and greet, but she wanted to go to the concert. So she stood in the regular line, which is fine for her because when we got on the rail, she was able to go down there with you. And then
she didn't take very long to get in, but she was freezing.
Soaking wet and freezing and shivering. But so we'll get to that in a second. But anyway, so I said to the guy, I said, so what is the plan here? He says, well, right now it's 10 after 4. He says, we're going to let you in at 4:20. I said, hold on a second. You're going to send us outside for 10 minutes. Does that make any sense to you? He goes, that's just what we're going to do. So I knew I wasn't getting anywhere with him, but I made my point. He goes, you can go online and you can complain. I go, well, yes, I'll do that. But second, just so you know in the future, because I'm really more of a principal guy, like in the future, learn something from this. Like talk to your boss and here's some ideas for you. Like have people stand there. Under the awning. I don't know if I said that to him. If I didn't, it doesn't matter. There's three places they could have let people stand. Okay.
It just seemed really insensitive.
In the snow. I mean, it snows in Chicago. It's freezing in Chicago over the winter. Yeah. How do they do it? Do they make people stand outside that have these meet and greets?
Don't have coat check. Is another thing. They don't have coat check. So
because we would have worn different clothes.
People can say, oh, you can bring a jacket, you could bring an umbrella, you could bring this, that, and the other thing. Mm-hmm. No, you can't. They don't have anywhere for you to put it.
Correct.
You're holding it the entire time.
Correct.
You're there. Or you're dumping it.
So now he says to me, we're letting people back in at 4:20. I go, okay, 10 minutes. I can go outside and stand for 10 minutes in the rain. Not a big deal. Did we go inside at 4:20?
No.
Did we go inside at 4:30 when the doors are supposed to open?
No.
They started letting people in at 4:40, 4:45 maybe, right? Maybe closer to 5.
It was probably 4:40.
So by the time we actually got in, it might have been 4:50, maybe. So we went out and stood for another 40 minutes outside.
And I thought it in the beginning because of how everyone was trying to herd underneath the awning that like they were letting in GA too. And I was about to get really upset.
But then we all stood there and they still didn't let us in. They were like going through everybody's bags, and now you've got merch. Now I went to the car in between because I was like, fuck this.
Well, that's the guy in front of me said. He's like, oh, now we got all these merch bags that they have to go through, and like they had like two lines going, and it's like, okay, like you didn't have your shit together. You have like five
lines
available.
You still don't have your shit together.
And we're still taking this long just to get through the line.
The only thing that really saved us, I think, is the people that were standing in line with us. We were able to talk to them and kind of make the time go by faster. Well, I
stood in the corner.
I talked to a couple from Ottawa that couldn't make the Montreal show, so they came to this one. And so that made the time go by a lot faster. And he's really into some, you know, heavy metal and Beartooth. But
no offense,
like
but
Pantera
I wanted nothing to do with you. And you kept asking
Machine
me questions
Head
and I was just trying to focus on staying somewhat warm.
You look so miserable. And so when we had to go back outside, his wife went across the street and went into the bank vestibule.
That's what you meant. Okay.
And so I said to you, I said, why don't you go stand with her in the bank vestibule?
At that point, I was already wet. I was already cold.
And
my situation wasn't
outside.
Changing.
I get it. So anyway, so we get into the venue and you had already told me what t-shirt you want. And I say to you, do you want a sweatshirt? because I know you're freezing cold, right? So you've got this cover up, but yes. then you've got a small shirt under it.
I have an autoimmune disease that makes me very intolerable to cold. And I think that's where this kind of stuff kills me.
And you're like, no, I don't. I know. I'm like, would you wear it? You're like, maybe. Okay, so I go.
He's asking me this as we're like still walking inside. By the way, like,
well, I figured if and at I'm your so coldest, cold you that might I don't yes.
want to.
I know you're. I know you're trying to be like, yeah, you don't have to do that. But at the same point, I wanted you to say, yes, I would like one. Thank you. So I go in there. I get a couple shirts, and then the sweatshirt you're actually wearing today is a zip up.
It's already clean too.
And I got you that. And then I get down to the rail, and Lexi's there. And yes. I'm like, oh, wow, she got in really quick.
She and came and found me right away.
She looks like a wet dog.
Yeah.
She is soaking wet, and she is just shivering. And so you went to the bathroom, came back. She went and got sweatshirts.
It was one of the best days of my life, I'm not going to lie. It was very rewarding.
I went to the bathroom.
And which they redid the bathroom, so at least there's a plus. Did. They're not super and sketchy looking water, anymore.
And now it's... Show starts at 6. It's probably 5:15 at this point. And from 5:15 to 10:15, I didn't move. I didn't go do anything else. I stood there for 5 hours. My feet hurt at the end of the day. My legs hurt at the end of the day. That was a long fucking time to stand. Because we had been standing outside since 3 o'clock.
I was okay. My feet were starting to hurt by the end, though.
So now we're standing there. We're warming up. You've got all of our stuff on the rail.
Yeah.
Our new shirts, your new sweatshirt, which you're wearing. Just the two shirts that we had that were drenched are now soaking our two t-shirts that I just bought.
Well, because the problem was, is it kept slipping because they had like a...
It wasn't a regular rail.
It was like a guard for the rail. So like if people... I think it's so people don't get hurt and whatever.
When they come down, when they're surfing, they don't come down. It's, yeah, they had a big cushion on the top of it.
So everything was sliding. And when the rail was shaking from the people... The stuff, because it was weighted down, was sliding. So I was, you know, just trying to herd it together so that it didn't get lost or someone swiped it or whatever.
The good news is that the concert started on time.
It did. It actually started right on time. I think they were a little ahead of schedule for the middle two bands.
Yeah. I think it was like 6:03 or something like that, but like pretty much right on time. And so Sleep Theory opened.
Which I'm still sad they went first, but it's fine.
I think they were the better of the three bands that opened for Beartooth, though, to be honest.
Yeah.
And so Cullen came out, and they opened with Fallout. Mm-hmm. And then they did Enough, right? And then they did Gone or Staying. They did Hourglass. They did one more new song. They did Numb, and they ended with Another Lie.
Another Way.
Another Way, sorry. Another Lie is a different band entirely. So Another Way. And so they did a good number of songs. Yes. I think they did a good job. They had a day off in between.
They did.
Which helped, I think. I know that several of the singers were having some issues the show before, including Caleb from Beartooth. But they sounded good. The last time we saw them, Paulo was very, very energetic. He was bouncing around. Not so much this time. He was just kind of standing there. He was doing his thing. I don't know if they were all kind of fighting some kind of an illness.
The drummer was like smiling and giggling behind the drum set. And I pointed out to Lexi, I'm like, he's so cute. Look at him back there just smiling.
And then Cullen, twice, he comes over and he notices you and Lexi. Now, you guys have built a relationship with him and you guys message back and forth on Instagram and so forth. But he came over and he waved to you guys. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. He actually noticed that you guys were standing there. And then he did it one more time. So that was cool. And so they had a good set. And better than the last time we saw him.
I think it was different. Like the first time we saw them, like it was the first time we had ever seen them. They didn't even have
their first kind of their first tour. I think they had
two songs out at that point. Two songs and
Numb and another way.
And then they performed Gone or Staying as their new song.
Correct.
And then they did like covers. So I think it was just
an NSYNC song and they did a couple of others. This one was just all their stuff. They didn't do any covers, which is good. New album coming out soon. So they did a couple songs, Hourglass, and then I forget what the other song was called. But he said, hey, we've got some new songs coming up. You mind if we play them for you? And they were all good, all of them. So they did a good job. And then they changed sets. Their stuff came off in Invent Animate came out. And the best way I can describe these guys is like a 70s California hippie band.
But they're not.
I know.
They dressed like it.
But that's what they looked like.
And they're guitarists.
A lot of crocheted shirts.
The bassist? I don't know. It was the guy with the t-shirt on. He looked like Steve from Full House. I was thinking about that on the way here. He looks like Steve from Full House.
Well, he didn't have a t-shirt on. He had a crocheted polo on.
Him and the other guitarist had matching. Like, one wore a long sleeve and he wore, like, one of them wore a short sleeve. Yeah, I don't know.
And they were too big for him. They were, like, oversized. But he did look like Steve from Full House. You're right. And then their singer came out, and he's in this wild-ass, like, bell-bottoms.
It wasn't bell-bottoms. They were, like, sweatpants, like, flare sweatpants with a diamond.
Hard to describe what they were.
A diamond.
Do you see his shoes?
No.
They were like medical grade gym shoes with big Velcro straps in the front. No, they weren't New Balances. They were something like a 90-year-old man would wear with like Velcro straps.
Honestly,
on
they
them.
Could be like the Yeezys, because I know Yeezy had some of those styles.
I don't know, but he came out.
They had a lot of energy. I'll give that. A
lot of energy.
They had a lot of energy.
I couldn't understand a fucking word he said.
No, his mic was turned down.
Because it was just screaming, and then when he sang, you couldn't hear him.
It was quiet. The mics were off, I think, the middle two bands, because I couldn't hear the guy from A Plot Mm-mm. in You either. Mm-mm. Except when he was, like, when the music was quiet, I could hear the guy from A Plot in You, but I couldn't hear them. And
plus,
I put
we
in
were
my,
right in front of the speakers.
I put in my earplugs at that in the second band, because I was like, this is so loud, it's hurting my ears, like, I need to just take a minute.
I don't mind screaming, but it was 80% screaming. He was just screaming every single lyric, and I couldn't understand a word of it. And so it wasn't even fun. If you're a fan of the band and that's what you like, more power to you. But I was not, sometimes you come to a concert and you go, oh, I like that. Like when we saw, Bush and Daughtry and Cavo, remember that? And Cavo came out and we were like, wow, that was a fucking great band. We started listening to that band because of that show. This band, if something comes on the radio and this band is playing, I'll turn it because it was that bad. And then they played maybe as long as
they played about six songs, I would say.
Same amount of time that Sleep Theory did.
That's why I didn't know who was going to go.
And then
first.
A Plot and You came out, and they had more lights, and they had more of this.
People
and that.
Knew them though; like right. they're a pretty well known.
They've had
band.
A few. They've had a few songs I've heard on Octane, or Turbo, whatever it is, and I recognized a couple of the songs. And
I like a lot of their newer.
They were
stuff.
Better. They were certainly better than.
I loved the previous band. Lexi has the funniest. She said it in the car, and she said it to me during the set. She goes, he's kind of slutty. Like, he's just kind of slutty. And I was like, he is. Like, he's the typical, like, tall, skinny white man.
And he had a mustache. That,
they all had mustaches.
Right, but he's the kind of guy that, like, if you looked at a barber sign, and you looked like he had this knit cap on, but then his mustache looked like he was, like, something from the Roaring Twenties or something. And... But they were, I mean, they were good. They weren't horrible. I thought they were pretty decent. The third band, I wasn't real familiar with all their stuff, but
I knew a lot of their newer stuff. I didn't know the old stuff.
The stuff they played at the end, I was more familiar with because I've heard it on the radio or on Octane. But, and then they had another break. And the thing that I liked about this tour or the tour manager, you got to give the tour manager credit. They moved their ass. Like, they got the stuff out. They got the stuff in. There was not a lot of time between bands. There might have been 15 minutes between each band, right?
I think there was a bigger gap between Beartooth, but I don't know.
They had
if,
more to set up. They had to take most
well,
everything
yeah,
off
and
the
I
stage.
Don't know if that was because of that, because they had they had probably 5 to 10 minutes to where they weren't doing anything. Like, they were tuning in the background and stuff, but I think it
and
could
he was
have also
setting up
been
all the,
to giving.
The, confetti machines.
True. It could have been giving Caleb also more of a break to prepare because, you know, he was still sick. So.
Right. And his parents were there.
But something we didn't mention was he actually came out and stood in the back where like the hallway is during Sleep Theory set. And he was standing there and he looked like a proud dad. And it was the cutest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, you saw him?
Oh, yeah.
No, I didn't.
He was wearing the same thing he wore to the meet and greet.
Okay.
And he was standing there with his little cup.
You saw him like on the other side of the stage? Is that what you're talking
about?
He
was back where they came out. Like that hallway that's back there with like the
red door. You see everybody getting ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was standing there just
because we were,
watching
again, we were up on the rail. So we were, if you're looking at the stage, we were far left. We were the farthest left you could go on that on that rail.
Because when I got there, people were like kind of, there was like space, but not a lot of space between people. So I was like, I'm just going to go to the end and like, fuck it. I don't care.
And stand in front of the speakers. But my ears are still ringing, by the way, 2 days
but
later.
But you're welcome, because none of us got kicked in the head by a crowd server. So
that was that was crazy. That was absolutely crazy.
I think
I've never seen so many people crowd surf.
Most of it was the same people.
It was
the same
people.
Like, they ride on the adrenaline, and it's like, okay, for one, keep your clothes on. There was one guy that kept his shirt off, and it's like, keep your clothes on, first of all. Second of all, one and done. Like, if I was a security guard, I'd be like, all right, no more. You're getting kicked out if I see you do this again.
So let's talk about the security guards for a second, because, you know,
Okay, but one was really great. The one that was in front of me, so I actually talked to the security guard that was in front of me, like, the whole time. He was on the side, and he just looked like he was not having a good time being here. And I'm like, oh, how you doing? And he's like, good. You know, they put the pros over here in the venue. And I'm like, yeah, at least you're not outside, you know, like making light of the situation. And we were just talking, and he left to go talk about something. And the security guard comes over, the one that was like older, had some like hip or leg issues or something. He was like, he had like a ginger ale sitting on top of the like boxes over there. And he's the one I had an issue with. But the other guy was fantastic. He was hilarious. He was singing. He was dancing. He was just such a good time.
At Beartooth, the other two bands.
No, he was dancing in like between sets, and he was dancing to.
Right, but the other two bands.
He looked like he liked Sleep Fairy stuff too.
Yeah, but he did not like the other two bands. He was looking at me like,
I think
what
also,
the fuck?
He wasn't prepared for all the crowd surfing, because it's always when somebody says it. Nobody does it until they say something.
And they
something.
All did it.
And they all do it.
Except Sleep Theory didn't do it. But no. The other three bands were like,
I don't think Caleb actually said anything.
Go.
He's just like, oh, yeah, like, hell yeah. Like, that's what I like to see.
Well,
I think
he said
that.
He said, separate this way and separate that
well,
way.
Well, he always does that.
But the first bit, the Invent Animate, was like, I want to fucking see you do this, and I want you to see you spinning, and I want you to see you know, jump it. And he's just trying to get everybody up and down and crazy.
Which is great. I mean, it wasn't biased, so I don't really care.
Whatever.
But, you know, it's when the whole crowd starts getting shoved, then that's where I have an issue. Because it's like, you can do your thing, keep it isolated, keep it tight.
And it was for the first couple of bands.
Beartooth got a little rowdy.
By the time Beartooth came around, everybody lost their shit.
I mean, I don't blame him. I did too. But
so they opened with Sunshine.
I have nowhere to go.
Which is fine. They opened with Sunshine. He came out. I was going to wear sunglasses to the podcast today, just in honor of Caleb, because he came out in sunglasses and no shirt. Of course, you like that, I'm sure. And then they did The Past Is Dead.
Yes, Papa.
So this will be on my the Play It Loud TikTok, but I panned over when everybody started jumping here. I panned over, and we had a really good view of everything, because it wasn't like just dead on where all the lights were flashing in your face. We were kind of off to the side, and it was loud in there. Like, the crowd was really, really fucking loud. Everybody was jacked.
I was too.
I know you were. I see you and Lexi bouncing up and down in front of me, and I'm trying to keep the camera or my phone in front of my face, not to get, you know, everybody behind me to obstruct their view. So this is obviously The Past Is Dead. So this is where I start panning, and the whole fucking place is just bouncing up and down. Now, what I did respect about the people that came to this band to this show is the people in the balcony, they were all standing. So normally they're all sitting, yeah. Nobody's standing. They all fucking stood.
That's also true. That never happens. It also depends on the balcony seats, though, because sometimes there's not room, so it's safer to actually sit.
Or sometimes the balcony's bouncing so much you think you're going to fall through the ceiling. So for a guy that was really, really sick,
he said
for the
it's
last
been like
week,
a month.
Well, just especially in the last week, because he had trouble two nights before. People were like, hey, he couldn't barely get through the set. They were online saying that. He sounded pretty good. Now, he said, yeah, I've got some doctors that have helped me. I've seen a lot of people. I've taken a lot of vacation. And he's been holed up in his hotel room basically for a month, not talking to anybody. He went through the whole thing. Later on, he said he was few days ago, he was near suicide because he just like, I can't do this anymore.
Well, it's isolating, you know?
It is.
I'm sure he was with his wife, but when the breakdown came down, oh my God, that rail was shaking. It was moving, and well, that's
as,
not a
as
it,
they
that's
did
a pretty
song
sturdy
after song
rail.
After song, and they were the mosh pit was getting bigger.
Can you see
and bigger.
My hair in this video when this breakdown comes? Because my hair flipped.
This one here.
Yes.
Yeah, there's your hair flipping right in front of me. Your hair is flying right at the camera, but everybody's head is.
Can you see the rail shaking? Can you see us all like shaking it? It was moving.
Oh my God.
The sweatshirts almost dropped. I had to grab it in the middle of like moving with it. It was so funny.
That's really funny. The guy next to you, I thought he was going to hit his head on the rail. He was bouncing his head so hard.
My neck actually finally feels better. I was having some neck soreness for a couple
my
of days.
My neck was sore, but I think it was because I was standing so straight up all night, not to obstruct the people's view behind me, that I didn't want to move.
I don't know. Something in my brain switched during this show.
You lost your shit.
I did lose my shit.
I'm not going to lie.
Funny,
you lost your shit.
So this is the part of the conversation I didn't tell you, but she was asking if it was okay if like she comes with us for a couple concerts we have later on this year. And I was like, why would I have a problem with it? I'm like, for one, if you're there, and it gives me a reason to actually go crazy, because then you're right. Going crazy and I'm going crazy, and then Richard's just standing there, and then right. And then it doesn't look like I'm being crazy.
Right,
it just
I'm not
looks
the
normal.
Guy that typically I'm not the guy that typically goes crazy. I like to. People are like, well, why don't you get, you know, crazy?
Oh my God.
I like to sit and watch the show. I'm there to see those guys perform.
You know, it's good that you got videos, because I could not. I got one video, I think, of Caleb.
I got that, and then I got, let's see, which one is this one? Oh, Might Love Myself? I think that's what this is.
I don't know.
Probably. They had that, just like Bad Omens, I think this is now a theme.
I actually really like the visuals that they had. I thought they were fun.
A lot of lasers, but just like Bad Omens has that big screen behind them, so did they. And I think it really helped their visual. It went from being a very blank, cold stage for the previous three bands to this.
Well, I like how everything was themed to the songs.
And very
too.
Colorful. Very colorful.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, that's the confetti going off.
Yeah. So the cannon was literally right next to the people that were standing to our left.
Well, Lexi braced every time that the confetti was going off because it was right next to her.
So when the confetti went off, if you watch the videos on TikTok, I panned over and you could just see just confetti everywhere.
Oh my God,
in the air.
I took off my pants when I got home the other day and there's confetti in my pants.
I have confetti in the closet. Yeah. I took off my jeans and
there
were,
was a lot of confetti
I got
on
the
me. The blue
was the
confetti
blue.
Was
yeah.
What got me. Cause that
this
came,
was pink.
I don't know if he moved it.
They did yellow, pink, and blue, I believe.
Yeah. But the blue got all
that
of
was at the
me.
End. That was Riptide.
Oh, yeah. It got everywhere. Everywhere.
It was in my shirt. It was in my pants. It was everywhere.
I like took my pants off and I'm like, what are you doing here? You survived the slaughter. Because I took all the rest of them off before I left.
And not only are the guys in the band just very personable, but they're very good.
They're talented
musicians. Like, they're very good musicians. The drummer's a very good drummer. Caleb has a very good relationship with him, apparently.
He said they're his four fucking best friends, if I can quote him properly. They're all just, they were all very nice, all happy to be there. You know,
So the one thing that I noticed, and I talked to you about this yesterday, was the spitting. There was a lot of spitting going on.
He was sick, though.
I know.
Like, when you're singing and you're giving that, your vocal cords are together, all that phlegm's coming up, too. So, for him, it's probably like, holy shit, I got another round of, like, phlegm to spit out. But they do that at every show. I feel like, not Beartooth necessarily, but...
So, he had a lot of costume changes. Like, he went bare shirt, then he had some type of a t-shirt on.
He had a crochet shirt on.
And then they did, then he had like a jacket and a hat on for when he did the Hardy song. And then he went to a pink shirt. Then he went to a pink jacket. Then he went shirtless again.
Yeah.
Anyway, he kept making these changes.
But it's funny because he made a comment too, because I always talk to people. I'm like, oh yeah, this man never wears a shirt. Like, I've never seen this man with a shirt. And like, he wears shirts, obviously, but like, I'd only ever seen him performing, and he never wears a shirt when he performs. And he even said, it's a miracle I even got to, like, you even
I don't know how you take any videos, because you're moving around so much, and you're bouncing up and down so much, that how does that camera even stand
still? When I record, I don't. I've tried to be better about it. This is the video I took.
That's awesome. So this was my favorite part of this whole video. Now watch what I did. I got a real big close-up of him. And I just was like, that's... Because he didn't sing it, but you could hear you could feel the emotion when I got real close-up with him on that one. Again, go watch the video. With TikTok being the 10-minute videos now, I can play the whole thing. I don't have to truncate it. And this is towards the middle of the set, and his voice was holding up really well.
I don't know.
I don't know how he keeps a thin stomach like that. Maybe it's age. Maybe he works on it. I don't know.
I don't know. He works out on the tour bus. He runs around like a maniac all the time.
I mean, for a straight man, I look at his stomach and I go, that's fucking impressive.
Well, it's the same thing with Johnny. Johnny's ripped, too.
Right. Right, right. No, he is. He is. But Caleb, you can see like on the sides where that, that muscle is.
His divots?
His hip. Like the L. Yeah. It's kind of crazy. This is where.
He also I think he's sober, I want to say. I don't think he drinks anymore.
Mm. So this is where he went to the back of the theater and he jumped up on the sound booth.
Which he did at Hogfest too.
Okay.
But he ran from the stage at Hogfest all the way to the back.
I didn't even know he was
back.
There. Like all of a sudden you see him up on the screen and I thought, oh, is this from like another concert or
That's
something?
That's what I thought too. I was like, damn, like that's
and then
pretty
everybody's
cool.
Turning
I'm like
around,
giving
I'm
him
like,
a break.
What's going on? And I turn around.
They duped us hard, man. Because basically they had a guy come out in a hood that we think is Caleb.
Right.
Playing a guitar and just shredding on stage and they're just doing a little like instrumental sesh.
Right.
And then all of a sudden this video starts playing and it's Caleb and you're like, oh, like this is fun. And then he's like set and I turn around and I'm like,
I just thought it was from like another tour date that they just kind of played this video.
Because it was kind of grainy.
It didn't
so I'm like,
register
oh, it's like,
that this is, and it looked like the ceiling was right at his head. Did
well,
it not?
He lifted his hand up and it was at the ceiling.
Was it really? Okay. Yeah. So I'll post this as well. But everybody had their cameras on and this is where he was kind of telling the whole story of what was going on for
and
the last month.
His mental health and how and he's then, learning to be
And then he started
himself.
Singing. So that's what he did there.
This is why I said the other day that I think Beartooth is one of the perfect examples of like what I expect from a concert and like what I rate like a 10 out of 10 concert. Like this is what this example is because not only did he take the time to talk about things and just take
and
breaks
be brutally
and
honest.
Be very personable, but he's also so grateful and he talks about how much he loves everybody and he said thank you so many times. He's like, I know I said it and I sound like a broken record, but thank you so much for being here. And like, you know, he's grateful for his fans.
And he's
talks
a golfer.
About his mental health. Okay, no
That's
one gets
what I
sure
like.
That he's a golfer.
No. But I liked it because I'm a golfer, so I connected.
But, you know, they take the time. They give everything they've got. And, like, he's even said that he gives it too much sometimes. But, like, as
well,
a fan.
Okay, but to back up. So he says, a lot of times I conflate Beartooth with Caleb, right? He goes, I feel like I'm one and the same. And as I go, as does Beartooth. And he's not wrong. Because any lead singer of any band, it's the same way. Brent Smith with Shinedown.
Ronnie
with Falling in Reverse. Johnny with Nothing More. I mean, any of those. I wouldn't say Disturbed so much because all those guys, I mean, like, well, anyways, so maybe that's a bad example, but there's a lot of bands where the lead singer really does make the band go. Like, it's one and the same. Like, Matchbox 20 without Rob Thomas, right? You probably wouldn't imagine it. So you couldn't imagine Beartooth without Caleb. So he says he takes that very seriously. And so as the band is going one way or he's going one way, he doesn't want to disappoint the fans. And so if he's sick or if he's going through stuff, he can't be his best self. And that he thinks the band may be suffering.
Well,
or
he also, it's a hard separation of, it's kind of like the work-life balance. Like if you can't take yourself out of your work, like you're going
to
be miserable.
And that's what he said. He says, I have to learn to separate myself from the band and be just Caleb and just have my own life and do my own things and have a separate life from Beartooth. And he says, I'm working on it, but it's not easy.
Right.
And I think he's right.
But
it's
not easy.
He said
that in this venue, it's the happiest he's ever been. So,
He says I played House of Blues 1,000 times.
And he goes, he's just saying at the point in his life, this is the happiest he's ever
been.
Oh,
I see what you're saying.
So he.
But he did say that it was nice to play another venue.
Yeah.
So.
But at this point, maybe not the Riviera. Maybe go to I don't know. I mean, Bottom Lounge is probably too small for them at this point, but maybe even the Chicago Theater would be a good one for them, just selling out the bottom floor.
Yeah, maybe. So we saw them at Hogfest. Mm-hmm. I'm not done. I got one more video, which is Riptide. But would you say that this is the perfect size venue for them? I think you were just alluding to that.
I think it's a little small.
Because we saw them in the arena, right? We saw them at Fiserv, which holds 17,000
people. They sold out
almost
every single show on this tour except one. So I think
Chicago was sold out, not right away, but it did sell out eventually.
I think they can grow. I think they have the fan base. I think they have the people. So I think they just need to
test. But my question is, are they more made for this type of a venue where there's maybe 5 to 10,000, or would a 17,000 be better for them?
Maybe one day. Hmm. I know in another video.
You think they would connect as well with the fan base at Fiserv?
He did pretty well for, being at a fest and, running around and saying hi to the fans and everything. But I think, he talked about I don't know where he was, San Diego, somewhere in California or something. And he was talking about how he wants to, there was a venue here and then there's an arena across the street. And he's like, next time you see me, I want to be in that one. Mm. So I think it's good to aspire to be that way. I think they definitely could get to that point. But I think for right now they need a medium large venue.
Well, they were, as every band that's ever gotten to some type of success, they were a Sleep Theory. They were a, plucked out of obscurity.
Oh, they used to make their own music videos. They were garbage. Right? If you look at their first album,
They've been the band traveling in a van, sleeping in a hotel room, getting one or two rooms a night just to.
Oh, they've only been around for 10, 15 years?
Well, he said he's been playing Chicago for 15 years, since he was 15.
10, I think he said, with Beartooth.
Something. But he's been doing it a while. And then they had the encore, and then they came back out.
They didn't take very long either for the encore.
Yes, 4 or 5 minutes.
I don't even think that.
But this techno? I didn't expect this. This techno opening to
Riptide.
Well,
clearly you didn't see the TikTok videos.
I didn't. I wanted to be surprised. Uh-huh. So they do this techno thing with a lot of lights and lasers, and he came out in this raincoat.
Then I look over to Lexi. I don't know if you can hear it in the video, but I go, "Hiya, Georgie." And if you don't know this man, this is his favorite song by Beartooth, which swayed him to start listening to them, because you used to be a Beartooth hater.
I didn't. It wasn't a hater.
You're a Beartooth
no,
hater.
No, I wasn't a hater.
Ryan's an actual hater, but
I was like.
You're a borderline.
Well,
hater.
All you played for me was him basically screaming. I like Riptide. I like The Past Is Dead. I like. Might Love Myself. Sunshine's growing on me. But there's a lot of songs that they played on Friday that I really enjoyed. Here, so I'm doing this video, and then I get smushed, and my camera goes down, and there's a guy surfing basically right over me. And so the security guards step up.
Which the guy in this video is my favorite security guard. He has been probably one of my favorites.
So the black gentleman with the do-rag on. And I'm trying to think. He looks like Marshawn Lynch, sort of.
I don't
football
know
player.
Celebrities.
And but I just kept filming. I was like, okay, well, that's just the way it is.
I tried to warn you when I saw him coming.
I just was so focused on it. Yeah, so this was probably the best song that they did of the night as far as energy level.
You missed the last song. I wouldn't say it was the most energy.
Well, in between.
There is just something about that song. It's one of their most popular and one of their oldest.
Well, I heard it on the way out. So I'm always, every show, I'm like, let's get to the back. There's so many people I figured we'd get crushed.
I do have the video I can send you if you wanted to play it. It's only 30 seconds, but I got a little bit of a video. It's not the most highest quality video, but,
Are you jumping up and down and bouncing around?
No. No, it's just because of where I was. Like, it was awkward because the security guards were right there. So, like, I didn't want to, like, lift it super high.
More and the big smoke cans went off, and everybody's jumping up and down. I pan back around. People are still surfing. Really high energy. This is probably one of the most high energy bands we've seen.
Besides the Hollywood Undead show that I saw at Rockzilla with Summer, I think this might have been one of the best shows I've had fun at. In terms of, like, being on the rail. Oh, there's more confetti. This is the confetti that got everywhere.
That was the blue confetti.
Because it came in the front of the stage, too. So it wasn't just mm-hmm. behind me. It was
over. I don't know where he aimed that one, but.
I don't know. It definitely wasn't in the same spot, though.
It was all over the stage. You can see it come down.
Because it was all over me.
Just, again, check out TikTok Play It Loud podcast. You'll see all the videos on there. Like them, share them, subscribe, whatever you want to do. Or don't, whatever. But, yeah, that's the whole point of me taking these videos is so that we're talking about this on the podcast, but then people can actually see what we're talking about on the, on TikTok. Okay. So you sent me the video for In Between.
I believe it's for the In Between. It's going to be really awkward if it isn't, but I'm almost positive it was. Can hear the crowd singing.
So your vantage point is a little different than mine was, even though I was just one person behind you. You're literally right there. Whose hand is that?
Guy next to me.
Oh. It's a woman's hand.
It's a guy next to me. He's taken like little pictures and videos throughout the show.
So yeah, so I didn't get that one.
I was
one.
Screaming
I
the rest of the time. I was so
tired. My legs hurt. My feet hurt so bad.
It was an argument, to say the least. There was an argument that took place.
There
about
was. It wasn't so much an argument. It was a short discussion, a curt short discussion. I was like, we're leaving after Riptide. We're making our way to the back. And you're like, go fuck yourself, basically.
Respectfully, GFY.
You're like, no, it's one of my favorite songs. I'm staying. I'm like, okay, I'm going to the car because I'm fucking
well,
tired.
Well, we
and
were like, we can meet you at the car. We're like,
I'm
we know
hungry.
Where it is. It's not that far
yeah,
away.
But you saw all the people. I was surprised you guys got out of there as
quickly as you
did.
We stayed till the end too. Like, I tried to get Lexi to leave like towards the end of the song. She's like, wait. She's like, wait. And then he started doing some crowd interactions, just yelling back and forth to the crowd and, you know, just having a moment. And I was like, okay, we need to leave. Like, yeah. I do not need my father to be mad at me. We need to leave.
Well, the thing is, it's the traffic. It's not the getting out of there. It's everybody now in their cars trying to get out of a very small space. So
we didn't have any issues.
And we didn't have any issues. And by the way, I don't know how many of y'all have ever been to a concert and that gets out at 10:30 at night.
The post-concert
and
food.
You're so fucking hungry because you haven't eaten since lunch and there's no food at the venue. We stopped at a Wendy's and I had the most delicious burger I think I've had in a long fucking time.
Yeah.
It was so good.
I didn't eat anything really that day. I had a muffin.
So good.
A Kodiak, whatever the brand is, the muffin, protein muffin. And mm-hmm. that was all I ate that day.
Yeah, I had four little small sugar cookies before we went into the venue, from one of the local bakeries here that are really good. And so, let's go back. So that was our experience, and I know this was a rather long concert review, but I hope you understood kind of our pleasure and pain of going through this
but
particular
we do it
concert.
Because we love them, you know. If it was any other band,
are you talking
I'd
about
like,
the? Oh, you're talking about
this.
The bands. Well, we love the listeners too, but yeah, there's certain bands that I will go stand in the rain for, and I think I turned to you and said at one point, I said, you know, I'm doing this for you, right? Like, I'm here for you.
You almost didn't even go that day.
I almost didn't earlier in the week. I turned to you and said, did you want to bring, you know, so-and-so with you? And you're like, you're going. And I'm like, okay.
Do you think that you would have been disappointed if you didn't go, knowing how great it was?
Well, I wouldn't have known how great it was because I wouldn't have had the
but
same
if
video.
If you were to go back.
Because you shoot the video and it's bouncing and bouncing and bouncing.
If you were to
bouncing.
Go back in time to that day that you were like, hey, maybe you should go with your friends.
I was having second thoughts because of how busy I was this week.
Would you slap yourself?
let me just put it this way. I'm gonna do a political answer. I hate when people do this, but I'm gonna do it anyway. I'm glad I went. Regardless of what I said earlier in the week, I'm glad I went. I'm glad I went for two reasons. Actually, I'm glad I went for three reasons. A, I got to know Lexi a little better. And so I got to understand her life history and where she's been and where she is now. Have more respect for that. And I know she's going with us to a couple more venues. We're going to St. Louis to Point Fest, East Moline to go see Nothing More in Wage War and Sleep Theory again. Mm-hmm. And so maybe we can connect with Cullen before then for another interview. But so I got that. And then I'm glad I went because I enjoyed the show. But the whole reason I do the concerts is to spend time with you. That's it. That's the deal. I mean, all of this is just a side benefit of doing the podcast and everything else. But, you know, I think as you probably could garner from our conversation with Lexi and all the things that she's gone through with her family, you and I probably have a very special, good relationship. And we do a lot of things together. And one of the things that we do together is to do a lot of concerts together. And
you better not piss me off, man.
And so I spend that time. I look forward to that time, not just for the bands and going to the concerts.
Well, it's
and,
also
and
time
hearing
you get
all
to
of that.
Not be at work, and you get to.
And
like,
I don't
really
get a lot of time away from that. So yes, that helps too. But to be able to do it with somebody that you enjoy doing it with makes all the difference in the world.
I knew
too.
You didn't like going to concerts with mom.
No. Although I am doing three or four of them with her this year, which is very, very different than in past years. So we're doing Styx and Foreigner. We're doing Van Halen. We're doing Def Leppard and Journey and Steve Miller Band. And I think there's one more. So there's at least three, maybe four, that I'm doing with her this year, which is going to be very interesting because I know how it is when I would go with you and we have a good time. I'm going to see how it is when I go with her. So, and then she's going to have to get on the microphone and do the concert reviews. So we'll see. Let's give the grades. We do it at every time. Mm-hmm. Sleep Theory.
I'd give them a solid A. I don't think it was their best, but I don't think it was their worst.
Give them an A-, B+, somewhere in there. I think the show in Madison was vocally a little stronger, but they brought a lot more energy in Madison, but they were a little more polished this time. Does that make sense? And they brought their own songs, which I can respect, and which means they're growing and they're getting better. And Cullen's kind of finding his groove as far as how to sing some of these different songs. He sang a couple of them differently. So A-, B+, solid grade. The next two bands.
I don't give grades to bands I don't listen to.
I would be doing them an injustice by giving either one of those a letter grade just because I'm not that familiar with either one of them.
I think if I was a fan, it would have been a great time.
But just from an energy standpoint, let me just put it this way. And I'll give them both credit for this.
Energy was like a 9.
Both of them had incredible energy. And the people who were there to see them and liked their music seemed like they were having a terrific time. Okay. So I don't want to do them an injustice and give them a grade. But let's just put it this way. The second band, because I was not familiar with their music and because it was just a little outside my comfort zone, I liked them the least of all of them. Plot and You was pretty good. Towards the end. And then as far as Beartooth, A+, solid A+. I think that's one of the better performances we've seen of the year, you know, we are in the last year, not of 2024, but we've seen a lot of good performances in the last year. That's probably one of the better ones. You agree?
Yeah.
Good. And then our next one is April 1st. We're going to see Set It Off and Crown the Empire. So we will have a concert review for you at that time. Anything else? Mm-hmm. Thanks, everybody.